It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Friday, October 30th. I'm Patricia Naft. In an effort to keep parents up to date, a local school district developed its own app. KVNF's Laura Pomisano has more.
Mesa County Valley School District 51 launched its app last week. Emily Shockley is a district spokeswoman.
Something that we thought of just as a way to reach parents in a more immediate fashion, because, you know, nowadays most people are carrying around their phones everywhere they go, so you don't have to worry about missing a call on a landline or not checking email on your computer. It's just right there on your phone.
Shockley says the app sends emergency notifications and is customizable.
If you download it, you'll see that you can, well, first off, you can pick some options and you can pick certain schools to get information about. So if you have kids at particular schools, if you work at a particular school, you can just pick those, and then when emergency notifications go out, you'll just see those for your school.
It also includes district news, school calendars, lunch menus, and sports schedules. District 51 is the 12th largest district in the state with about 22,000 students. As of Tuesday, Shockley says the app had nearly 350 downloads.
You can get it on the Apple App Store or at the Android/Google Play App Store.
For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Presentations have been happening in Delta County High Schools this week, promoting abstinence until marriage. The presenter, Shelley Donahue, is an openly Christian presenter who often makes appearances in churches and schools. KVNF's Jake Ryan talked with Delta County School District Superintendent Karen Gibson.
This presentation that's going on in the high schools, to start off, could you just tell me about it?
This is a guest speaker that was brought in to give kids the tools to have healthy relationships. This is something the Pregnancy Resource contacted us and wanted to know if they could have the person in our school. And my first question was, is this secular or non-secular? And they said it was secular, meaning it's non-religious, non-biblical. And there has been some concerns about religion, and we have made sure that we've kept that out of this presentation. She has two presentations. One is faith-based, another one is not, and she would do the non-faith-based for our students. And then I've attended the presentations at Delta High School, and they were very professional. They were not biblical, good information.
Now, there's no doubt that abstinence is the best way to prevent a pregnancy or STDs or anything like that, but abstinence-only education has been shown in a couple of studies to be ineffective. If anything, even raising the rates of pregnancies and things like that. Now, abstinence is, of course, a perfectly valid life choice for anyone who wants to do that. But do you see a problem in promoting abstinence-only education?
You know, I think as a school district, that's something that we need to look into and offer more classes in that. And maybe this is the start as we can create a health class where we teach the more facts and the science. And so it's a very good question. I think it's something the school district can look into.
And we talked about how it's not faith-based in the schools.
Right.
But the fact that that's where she's coming from, that's where the organization and the program is coming from, do you see that as possibly problematic or concerning?
Well, I have many teachers that go to church on Sunday as well. The presentation and the message she gave was very professional, very organized. And it was good for our kids to think about healthy relationships.
Healthy relationships, I assume, also mean in this instance, abstinent relationships.
She is talking about abstinence, yes.
Has it crossed your mind that maybe that's implying that a sexually active relationship is unhealthy?
No, not at all. Students need to determine what they want out of life and determine how they're going to get there. You know, it's a nice presentation to help our kids work through this stage of their life. However that is, and however they want to answer it, is up to them. But it gives them something to think about.
That was Karen Gibson, the superintendent for Delta County Schools, talking with KVNF's Jake Ryan. The district did not pay Ms. Donahue's presentations. They were paid for by Delta Pregnancy Resource Center, a faith-based nonprofit. Dozens of watch parties were held across the state as the GOP presidential contenders took to Boulder for their third debate. Benta Berkland attended a watch party at a lounge in downtown Denver where a lot of undecided GOP voters gathered to mingle, discuss the candidates, and pick the debate's winner and loser.
Wade Walton was among a crowd of about 150 people, mostly moderate Republicans. He's an attorney and member of the Lincoln Club of Colorado, the oldest Republican club in the state. He's also an unaffiliated voter. Walton was pleased that the candidates didn't attack each other too much.
I think the moderators try to do that. They try to encourage the fighting amongst them, and I'm glad they stuck together and didn't do it so much.
Walton thinks Texas Senator Ted Cruz is the smartest of the candidates. He also likes Donald Trump's enthusiasm and Carly Fiorina, and says he could back almost any of the GOP contenders except for former Florida Governor Jeb Bush.
I'm just not a big fan of him with his Common Core stance, and we don't need any more Bushes in the office, I don't think.
Walton's colleague, oil and gas attorney Nathan McKibben, is a strong backer of Donald Trump. McKibben is a registered Democrat, but says he actually leans Republican.
What I like about Trump is that he's not politically correct. He shoots people straight. We need somebody in the White House that is very strong.
But McKibben's support of Trump was not the norm among the more moderate crowd. Aubrey Blankenship lives in Highlands Ranch. She's active in young Republican circles. She says her top issues are mental health awareness and public safety.
Whether it's ISIS or police officers in general, I have a very difficult time with the message coming out there these days about law enforcement is out to get you, because it's really not. And those guys put their lives on the line every day.
Blankenship says the debates have helped her hone in on a candidate. She became a fan of Carly Fiorina after the last debate, but Florida Senator Marco Rubio is also a top choice. That seemed to be the consensus of the group. Rubio came away the clear winner after the watch party attendees held a vote. Donald Trump was voted the loser of the debate, and not far behind him was Jeb Bush. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Winter delays on I-70 are notoriously bad, with stuck cars and accidents backing up the highway for miles. Something called a virtual guardrail could make it safer and faster to drive on I-70. Aspen Public Radio's Elise Thatcher has more.
The Colorado Department of Transportation unveiled a push this week to use more technology on Colorado's roadways. CDOT hopes to start by increasing how connected drivers are when they're out on the road. By using smartphones and other methods, the agency is exploring how to make it so that drivers have a better sense for what's going on. Spokesperson Amy Ford.
There's a couple of ways that you can start getting vehicles to talk to each other so that they know, hey, the car up in front of me is slowing down, I need to brake myself, or there's things happening on the road that we need to be aware of.
One way to do that is through an app. Self-driving vehicles would also be able to communicate and respond. Ultimately, there could be sensors or virtual guide rails on the side of the road to alert drivers as well. Early steps will be in 2017 with a focus on I-70 from Denver to Vail, but changes could have a significant effect on traffic continuing to Glenwood Springs and Grand Junction. Elise Thatcher, Aspen Public Radio News.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.